Blog Talk Radio.
Saints of God, good afternoon on this Wednesday, May the 4th, 2022. It's raining like crazy here. It's raining. It's pouring. There's a deluge here. That said, we're indoors. We're in studio. We have a great show for you. We're going to be talking about Dallas Jenkins. I don't get tired talking about this guy. I'm on him like I used to be on Paula White. And he's kind of a privileged child. I suspect no one ever told him no. Dallas always got his way. I'm sure that his daddy and his mommy tried to tell him no, but Dallas probably threw himself on the ground and had a big old tantrum, and they gave in, and ever since then, Dallas has been getting his loaves and fishes any way he can, and so here we are. Let me bring on Sister AJ, and Sister Marie's going to be in studio tomorrow. We got Sister Marie lined up. Of course, today the show is This the Church? Tomorrow is the End Time News Report. Sister AJ, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm a little confused. I got the days confused, but other than that, I'm okay. I'm okay. My head's spinning, you know. I thought it was Thursday and it's Wednesday. Of course, you know, that's because I'm just doing so many things at one time. And
right, you got a lot
spinning.
Going on, so
I got a lot
it's
going on. Plus, right at 4 o'clock, as I walk out this little studio, my wife's going to be outside, waiting for me to put the handcuffs on me and say, "Come on, it's time to serve Cleopatra. I'll be back in Egypt."
Well, you got a little bit of time off last week, so you knew this was coming.
That's it. Absolutely, absolutely. And that's the deal. So I just finished walking the dog in the rain, because everybody's out getting their hair done, and guess who has to walk the dog? Me, in the pouring rain. You know, and my wife will walk in and she'll say, "Did Daddy walk you? Did Daddy take you out?" And if the dog gives her a funny look, she's going to say, "Why didn't you take him out? What was he talking to you? Is he telling you something?" So that's it. But I'm so looking forward to these 2 hours because we're going to be jumping all over Dallas Jenkins, who is quite annoying. He's quite annoying, I got to tell you. He's quite annoying.
Well, I feel bad for Dallas because he's got the wolf tracker on his trail now.
Well, the wolf tracker is semi-retired. He's one of these entitlement people. He feels like he's entitled, you know, to everything. And,
right, it seems that way.
Yeah. So, and look, you know, when you make a deal with the Mormons, my goodness, and then you claim that you have the same Jesus, oh my goodness, that's just horrible.
Yeah, I could hardly believe it the first time I heard him say that, and he is willing to die on that hill, so to speak.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I can't wait for him to tell that story to Jesus on Judgment Day.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna work for him.
Yeah,
I was just thinking we hadn't talked about this verse of scripture in a long time, but since we've been doing Dallas, and especially after the commercial thing, I thought about the verse in Jeremiah 5:26-27 that talk about men that lie in wait and sets traps to catch men. And it seems like that's what Dallas and his cohorts are doing.
Well, sure, because they had an advertising campaign where they lied about somebody, you know, putting graffiti on the billboards, and they lied, you know, and it was a stunt, and you know, people lose their lives over stuff like that.
It sure can.
You know, people are very, you know, they're very, you know, they have their positions, and this is my Jesus, and how dare you? And you know, you start arguing with somebody, and then the bullets start flying, and they could have had a tragedy in their hands, all because of a hoax, all because of Jesse Smollett's hoax. That's what that was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you don't listen when it comes to race. You don't fool around with race. And when it comes to religion, you don't fool around with religion.
Yeah.
Those are
you
things
sure
you
don't
do. That, you know, just the same thing with rape. You know, the Reverend Al Sharpton, I remember he defended this young girl, Tawana Brawley, in New York City.
I was a
young man when the Tawana Brawley thing, and he had people marching up and down the streets of Brooklyn. He was blocking streets. You couldn't move your car. I mean, and it was all a hoax. It was all a hoax.
Yes, it was.
And you never mess with a hoax. You never get involved with it. You lose credibility when you are participating in a hoax. All credibility. Well, I thought it was funny, or I thought it was a great idea for. No, it's not a great idea. It's not. It's deception, is what that is.
That's right. But it seems like for the most part, people are willing to overlook what Dallas did. They'll still love the show. They'll still watch it, even if they were not amused by his little prank.
Right, right. And here's the thing. How do we not know that the whole story is a hoax? How do we not know? Because, you know, he only fessed up because he was found out.
Right.
He didn't get the response
he was hoping for, and he needed to keep that money from going out the door, so he had to get on the video and pretend to be sorry for what happened.
Right. He ain't sorry because he got on with his partner and were bragging about, you know, there was a father, and he told us how his son got turned on, and they like it now, and they're watching it now, and... It's a hoax, dude. It's a hoax. That's what it is.
That's right.
He apologizes, but at the same time, he's bragging because a few people got turned on to the Chosen. It's a hoax.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
And he says viewership has grown exponentially, and that helps keep people engaged while they're waiting for the third season to show up, get put out, or certain episodes to show up, so that helps too to keep the interest going.
You know, it's just I just find it to be when he says this thing has grown exponentially, I just have to say to myself. That too is a
lie. He's probably exaggerating.
Right. Exactly. That too is a lie. Because the guy is, you can't trust anything. At least I can't trust anything he says.
Mm-hmm.
I sure don't trust anything he says.
Right. Well, the other part of the verse of... The next verse in Jeremiah 5, it also talks about how as a cage is full of birds, so their houses are full of deceit. Therefore, they have become great and grown rich. So, yeah, you know, they lie. They
right.
exaggerate things. They omit things.
Correct. And look, the Mormon guy is all into it. The Mormon guy...
Yeah.
They see the money. The money is rolling in. The money is rolling in. They are making a killing on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Dallas now is bragging because this is the all-time production that has been done through crowdfunding, has the all-time record. So now he's got things he can brag about. So he's building his brand, or he's rebuilding his resume, his career, all at the expense of poor Christians who are funding this thing, because rest assured, his daddy didn't give him 2 cents to put this garbage together, and it is what it is. It's rubbish.
Mm-hmm.
It's rubbish. As soon as people ask me, "What do you think of the Chosen?" I say, "It's an abomination." And you got to see their faces. I mean, they're like, it's an abomination. I mean, what did you say? You heard me. The other day I told somebody the same thing, And then my kids, when I got into the car with my kids, and the person asked, what did you say? I said it was an abomination. They said, I thought Daddy was going to tell them to use a Q-tip like he tells us. Because when my kids don't hear something, I tell them, go get a Q-tip. Clean your ears out. And they said, I thought Daddy was going to tell them to go use a Q-tip.
Wow.
But it's garbage. It's complete garbage.
Yes.
Nothing in this series is redeemable. None of it is any good. And what really gets me mad is he says this is the authentic Jesus. What?
Yes.
What? The authentic, are you kidding me? Do you think we're that stupid?
Well, he's definitely delusional because this Jesus doesn't line up very much with the one in the Bible. That's for sure.
Right.
Except the name, his name, he was from Nazareth. You know, the certain people that he knew. I mean, there are certain details that this show is based on, but this isn't really authentic Jesus the way Dallas says. I think that we may have to be careful because, you know, nowadays words don't mean what they used to mean. So maybe Dallas is talking about something else.
Sure. Absolutely. We have to ask them, what do you mean by authentic? Can you define authentic? And
right.
then based on that, you know, we can hold his feet to the fire. But, he's very thin-skinned. I look at him, and I see a man who cannot take criticism. He doesn't take criticism very well.
No, not at all.
Yeah, he doesn't take criticism very well. And I got to tell you, lots of criticism has made me who I am. Because
mm-hmm.
every time I wrote a term paper and it was garbage, the teacher would just hand it back to me and say, Mister, you're going to fail this course if you don't get your act together.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, it was that kind of in-your-face criticism that got me turned around. If you don't have that in life, you're just going to go around deceiving yourself.
Exactly.
That's what you're going to do. You're going to go around deceiving yourself.
Well, he is definitely self-deceived.
Absolutely. And then his daddy, I have to watch these shows at least 20 times, and they bring me to tears. Bring you to tears. What? The shows are garbage. Complete garbage.
Well,
I mean, that
also
show where
making
Jesus,
money. He's making money off of it too, so he's not gonna say it's garbage now.
Oh, of course not. No. He's in the boat. He's in the boat too. You know,
mm-hmm.
he's in the SS Titanic too. And he's gonna be in a lot of trouble with Jesus, because how
right.
can you let your son say that the Mormon Jesus and the evangelical Jesus are the same? How can you let your son? How can you give your son a pass on that?
I don't know. I mean, I guess the same way he can be poker buddies with James McDonald.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. People get involved with Christianity because there's a lot of money to be made.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact. You know, people snuggled up to the church and I'll do this for the church and I'll do that for the church. There's money in the church. There's lots
mm-hmm.
of money.
Well, Tim LaHaye sought Jerry out when he wanted to write these books. I guess he'd seen some things that he'd written and liked his ability to tell a good tale. So I
right.
guess Tim was the theological guy And then Jerry was the storyteller when they got together to write those Left Behind books, if I remember the story correctly.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't know about, I don't know. I know that they partnered together to do it, but I don't know the story of their partnership.
Yeah, it was something like that. You know, Tim kind of sought Jerry B. Jenkins out because he liked his writing style and storytelling and stuff like that, because Jerry was a secular writer before then.
Right, 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 right. Yeah. What's the B in Jerry B. Jenkins? What's the B for?
I don't know.
Bonehead? Bonehead?
Yeah.
My goodness. Yeah, you know, listen, the sad thing is none of it lines up. None of it is in chronological order. Nicodemus is not Nicodemus. Mary Magdalene ain't Mary Magdalene. I never heard of Mary Magdalene being raped by a Roman soldier. Peter is not Peter. The Good Samaritan turned out to be the Bad Samaritan. This is just a complete debacle. It's just a big old mess.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
That's what this is. So, what are you going to do? I mean, people are signing on and just giving this guy money now for the third season. And if he's and if he's going to do the third season, he probably already has the money, right?
Well, they just started filming it, but yeah, they've wrapped up taking in money for it a while ago, and they're already they're collecting for the fourth season as far as the money goes. And
wow.
they have to have it already, all the money in before they start filming. I think that's
wow.
how it's supposed to work.
Wow. Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I feel that all we can do with this is just, and other people that we're seeing getting out here, just to warn people, to inform people on what's going on with it, and you know, they have to make their own decisions about it and whether they're going to support it.
Right, 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 right. You know, when I was a kid, I loved the Flintstones, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then at the tail end of the Flintstones, they started to introduce a spaceman called Gazoo.
Yeah.
He was a short little guy. He had a funny baseball hat on, Gazoo. And he would grant them wishes, right?
Right.
Because Barney and Fred were kind of stupid, so Gazoo was there to help them out. Well, I was thinking the other day. I was saying, boy, Dallas is Jesus. He can use a Gazoo, because Dallas is Jesus is just stupid, And since we're using our imagination, I mean, since it's all about imagining. Why don't you just introduce a space being? The Mormons are into, crazy stuff. Introduce a space being. You don't have to call them. Yeah, you don't have to call them Gazoo, but maybe you can use another name, and the Christians will go for it too.
Well, the Mormon God does live on a planet called Kolob or something like that. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, well, listen, maybe because their Gazoo could come from that planet. Boy, what a crazy world we live in. What a crazy world.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, crazy world. So what are we doing this afternoon here with these audios?
Well, last few weeks, we've been looking at the behind-the-camera business dealings of the chosen, the people involved with it. We've been using one audio from a young man Kingdom Enterprises is the name on the YouTube channel, but this guy did an excellent job with gathering all of just a plethora of information about a lot of this. So we've been looking at that with his video. And then also we've had another video from the lady who talked about the commercial debacle. We paused the other documentary and we're looking at this video because mm-hmm. she expands on some of the business arrangement that the guy touched on in the other video, but she gives us a little more detail. So we switched to that last week, and you wanted to, so it's audio too, and you wanted to start it over this week because it was pretty interesting, but we didn't give a lot of commentary on the parts that we listened to. And the first section, when you get it ready, let me know, and because we're going to listen to it in parts.
Okay, so I'm ready to go.
Okay, first start off from zero and go to 1637.
Okay. All right, so here it is. Now, again, this is the lady breaking down the ad campaign, correct?
Yeah, this is, she did that video, but this one is about the business, and it really shows how Daryl and Dallas and his other Mormon partners got together and brainstormed this whole thing, and that, so that's what I wanted to show in this video.
Okay, here it is. So from zero to 16 minutes.
1637.
Okay. It's playing. All right.
What this series is, and this is nothing, I'm not here to preach to you, or I'm not here to do anything, I'm just kind of explaining the project, but we actually did a TV series on the life of Jesus Christ, but through the perspective of the people that surrounded him and his disciples. And
stop right there for a moment. In order for you to do something, right, by mm-hmm. the perspective of the disciples, is you have to interview the disciples.
Right.
Unless you can talk, I'm sure you're not talking about necromancy. I'm sure you're not trying to raise Peter from the dead to talk to him to get his perspective.
Right. So the accounts we have is what's written in the gospel and in some of the epistles. You know, Peter wrote a couple of those, and so did John.
Right.
So we can get
right.
some ideas on their testimony from
correct.
Their writing, especially the gospels.
Right. But here's the problem that they have. We don't have Nathaniel's perspective because
no,
we don't have anything in writing that Nathaniel said.
No.
We only have John, right? And
mm-hmm.
we only have Matthew. The other two,
right.
Mark and Luke, are secondary disciples of Christ.
Right.
Right? So we really only have the testimony of two of the Lord's disciples. The Matthew
right.
that wrote the gospel was not autistic. That's one. and this John in the Chosen does not sound like the John in the epistles. So again, you're not basing anything on other than Dallas's imagination.
That's right.
So this is when he says we're doing a show based on the perspective of Christ's disciples, wrong. Because you didn't talk to them. You don't have anything that you know, and we didn't hear anything that they said. This is not them. This is you guys.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
The TV series called The Chosen. You can find it at thechosen.tv.
The Chosen has become the king of crowdfunding among TV and film. According to the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, The Chosen LLC in 2019 reported that it had raised almost $11 million by what's called equity crowdfunding. Thanks to contributions from initial investors, which ranged, the estimates are that there was about 18,000 to 19,000 initial investors. The Chosen is a multi-season show, the first consisting of 8 episodes, and they just finished airing season 2, which was also 8 episodes, and it was fully funded as well. Now they are working on funding season 3. Episode 8 of season 3 has a goal of raising $2,250,000. The plan is to create 7 seasons, possibly 8, since Angel Studios has the exclusive rights for distribution. They control how it is platformed. Who's behind The Chosen? Who are the owners? There are 5 owners of The Chosen. Pictured here are 4 of the owners: Daryl Eves, Dallas Jenkins, Earl Seals, and Ricky Ray Butler. And the 5th owner is Matthew Faraci. Now, in 2017, they began the company, The Chosen LLC, which is a manager.
It all starts back in 2005. When I discovered YouTube. And I'll tell you what, when I discovered YouTube, I knew that this online video space was going to be huge, and I put a lot of energy, my money, and I also created a company that was designated to really get visibility and views, and it's been a wonderful ride. I've been able to get over 41 billion video views on YouTube. I've been able to help 21 channels, almost 22. We're getting really close to that 22nd channel, to get over 1 million subscribers each, and we're getting millions and millions and millions and millions of views each day. A couple years ago, it's been a long time ago, I was invited to go to a meetup, and this meetup was a group of individuals, and we was in a basement, and they were talking about this new opportunity of YouTube. And I ultimately met 30 other people there in that basement, and we started to try to help each other in our community. Now, this is in Utah. We call ourselves the YouTubers. We're a little original. It's UT-tubers, right? And in that core group, it was really fun to see all these YouTube channels starting to get experience. And as they get experience, they started to have success. And I can tell you the reason why there's so many different YouTube channels here in Utah is because of that group. It's because of 2 individuals that I know personally. First one is Jeffrey Harmon, because he took a risk and started to market a product that was unmarketable from infomercials and TV and print, but he was able to succeed here on YouTube. Now, I have been on a quest for all those that have known me for all these years of really helping content creators really shine. I think we need to get a lot more quality content that families can watch. I know that Hollywood and other institutions like that don't really have that agenda at all. And I truly believe that, you know, socially and collectively, we need to band together, to group together with people with like-minded values and create content for ourselves or to amplify. So that's kind of been my mission, is to help select individuals, to help them really get found. But what happened with that is it literally shifted my focus. Instead of putting out a video content here or there, I really wanted to help other content creators. Now, that being said, I truly believe that where our society is going, we need to take it by the reins. Like, we need to start controlling, you know, the type of content that's created. And a couple years ago, I had a really good friend of mine, Jeffrey Harmon. He's one of the principals at VidAngel. He actually came to a conference I was putting on called the Vid Summit. Now, the Vid Summit I put on several years. It's going to be my sixth year this year. He came a couple years ago, and he's like, Daryl, I need to talk to you. I was surprised, first off, to see him because he said he wasn't coming because he was too busy. And he basically says, I need to see you. And I'm like, Jeffrey, like, I know this is important, but I'm here to put on an event here. I can't drop everything. There's a lot of little details. And he says, no, I bought my ticket, and I flew down here today, so we need to have a conversation. And I am so grateful, first off, that Jeffrey was able to follow his heart and come down to L.A. Just kind of last minute and pull me into a room. And I remember vividly kind of fighting it because I had so much going on. I was able to pull into the room, and it was great to see some of my amazing friends there, like Peter Hollins, and we had Ricky Ray Butler and a few others that were in that room. And to hear what Jeffrey had to say next, he says, you know, I wanted you all to come together. I flew down here to show you a video. It's about 19 minutes, and I want to talk about an opportunity afterwards. I'm like, okay, what's going on here? I flew down here to show you a video. It's about 19 minutes, and I want to talk about an opportunity afterwards. So he played this video, and it was a pilot episode of a shepherd that was witnessing the birth of Jesus Christ. And for me, I'm a true believer. I believe that Jesus came to save, and I just love him with all my heart. And when I saw the content, I was floored. And I remember vividly the part. I had someone coming in because there was an emergency going on and needed my attention. And I remember getting up. I said, Jeffrey, I got to go, but I know where this is going. I know where this is going, and I want to be a part of it. Wee hours in the morning, we were able to connect, and he was talking about this opportunity. And this is something that I was really excited about because Jeffrey and I worked on several projects before. He says, Daryl, you know, I bought my ticket, come down just to show you this video. And I have an idea. I have a crazy idea. And I'm like, oh, Jeffrey, not another crazy idea. I don't know if I can put up another crazy Jeffrey idea. He goes, no, it's really important. He goes, I really think we can disrupt how projects are funded. And we started to talk, and he was talking about a new way to get content creators that have the same values that we do and the same, beliefs in the sense of family and country and loyalty and service, stuff like that. We can get that content out on a greater scale. And then he kind of opened up some ideas that he had, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is going to be amazing. And the idea was, he was going to create a new division in VidAngel called VidAngel Studios. And this VidAngel Studios was all about 100% was all about selecting content creators that can bring original content on the platform, but in the same time that they would actually get the crowd to fund their project and pull it in. Now, he had the idea to get it approved and go get approval with the Security Exchange Commission to receive public money and to bring investors in. And that was a new concept. And I was, like, really, really excited about that. That was a way for everyone that knows me, more that you know me, I love to disrupt things. And it was very disruptive. And I remember going up to Provo the week after. So I was honored to go up there. And then, too, a couple weeks later after that, I met Dallas Jenkins. Now, little did I know how that meeting would be and how it would change the course of my life. because it really changed the course. And I remember sitting down, we were just kind of in a room off the side, Jeffrey and Neil were there, and Dallas and I was there, and he says, "Well, we want to introduce you to Daryl, and we want him to be your partner, you know, and get things rolling. You guys kind of discuss between yourself." And I just remember seeing Dallas look like, going, "What? Who is this guy?" You know, and we were able to sit down and talk about the vision and where Dallas is at in his life. Was he's willing to try anything? He says, "You know, he just came off a." Complete failure in business and with Hollywood, and was open to really share his gifts, and he was willing to have someone that wanted to help. And I was really excited to be a part of it. I'll be honest with you. I was excited with his vision. His vision's very infectious, and he was able to talk about the type of content he wanted to create, which was a TV series on the life of Jesus Christ, and we were able to start strategizing, and before you know it, we started a partnership. And VidAngel is their distribution partners. They're not necessarily part of the company, but Dallas and I and Matthew Faraci, Earl Sills, and Ricky Ray Butler started a company where we were actually going to get this project out to the world. Now, keep in mind, Ricky Ray Butler was also in that basement, and you know, back with Devin Graham, and he's been able to bring YouTubers and online creators more money. He got his company bought by Bill Gates. There's a lot of great things that are happening. So we had a pretty amazing team. We went through the process to get approved with the Securities Exchange Commission to take public money, and I'm here to tell you, I would never wish that on my worst enemy to go through that process of working with the Securities Exchange Commission. It was arduous. It was like crawling on glass to get it approved. But we finally got approved, and we were able to prove a concept. And in last June, we were able to take public money through a way that hasn't necessarily been funded before in a what they call a Reg A offering, or bringing partners in. And it was a unique concept. And we started that in June, and we were able to get money in. And like for me and everyone that knows me and everyone that knows Jeffrey know that we're really motivated by, you know, achieving goals. And our main goal was to bust the world record, the all-time record in crowdfunding in television and film in media. And we were able to bring team members Ricky Ray Butler, Matthew Faraci, Earl Sills, to really bring in the money. And, you know, all of us together brought in money, and we put well over $1 million per episode into it. And what's great to see is the vision that Dallas had several years ago, and see it come to fruition. One of the things that we do consistently is, you know, we're able to read comments that people give us of how they're affected by the project. We read scripture, and we pray together. And it was a beautiful thing as Dallas offered the prayer and shared a story about how his wife, some very personal things that his wife was going through, and a close friend, and read some scriptures that were really relevant to me. And if this project alone, just with these little friendships that I was able to develop, and to really be surrounded by people that are like-minded, and to put out content out there to the world, I mean, I call it a win.
In his book, The YouTube Formula, Daryl Eaves reveals his strategy behind The Chosen. On page 149, under the section The Ultimate Unicorn, Jesus, it says, "Another project Jeffrey Harmon and I are currently working on, it's Jesus. I am more passionate about this project than any other I've ever done. We wanted to create a TV series about the life of Jesus Christ that appealed to the evangelical community. Jeffrey introduced me to a creator named Dallas Jenkins, who later became my partner and the writer and director of the series about Jesus Christ called The Chosen." The next page, page 150. "We knew we wanted to resonate our message and vision with a specific persona, 25 to 45-year-old female, married or unmarried, churchgoer, volunteer. The first show ever, the debut of The Chosen, begins with Jesus' first miracle. It was the healing of a woman, Mary Magdalene, who is called Lily. The next page, page 150. We knew we wanted to resonate our message and vision with a specific persona, 25 to 45-year-old female, married or unmarried, churchgoer, volunteer.
Now, why that particular group? From 25 to 45 are the greatest years of earning power.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
They don't want someone in college necessarily, because what are they? What is someone in college accumulating? Student debt. So they're not looking for that
right.
person. They're looking
they
for someone.
They want those
who's,
to watch the show, but they're not necessarily looking for them for the money. The younger crowd.
Right. Exactly. They're looking, like you heard them say, volunteers. What's a volunteer?
Mm-hmm.
A volunteer, see, they don't have Starbucks as volunteers. They have employees.
Right.
Because right? But in the church, the church is always looking for employees that they don't want to pay, thus volunteers.
Right. Slaves.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And listen, and they know that women are passionate about the Lord, because just go to
mm-hmm.
any church and you'll see 90% of the people attending the churches are women.
Right.
That's
and,
just a fact.
And we're very dedicated and we work hard, and, you know, not saying men don't,
sure.
but I'm fitting into what they're targeting. Women are very dedicated and hard workers, and that's what they want.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's their core group. That's the
mm-hmm.
those are the people that if they have, let's say they have 1 million people, they want 75% of the viewers to be that group. Cuz that group
mm-hmm.
will carry the day. Like
right.
they do every Sunday. Like they do every Sunday.
Exactly.
That's just a fact.
And you know that this is the devil's oldest trick bag, too, to go after
right.
the women.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay.
First show ever, the debut of The Chosen, begins with Jesus' first miracle. It was the healing of a woman, Mary Magdalene, who is called Lilith while she's demon-possessed. This episode slowly builds into a dramatic crescendo with Jesus casting out the demons in Mary Magdalene. The audience is taken through Lilith, or Mary's, traumatic past with flashbacks of the death of her father as a child, and then her mental and physical anguish as she is raped by a Roman soldier. The episode concludes in a cinematically powerful scene where Jesus seeks out Mary and casts out the demons from her.
What do you know my name?
Thus says the Lord who created you. I have called you by name. You are mine.
Did the Holy Spirit, by ignorance or oversight, forget to record this first miracle in the Bible? Remember, the target audience is female. The Bible records the first miracle that Jesus ever did was in the Gospel of John, where he turned the water into wine at the wedding of Cana of Galilee. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. John chapter 2, verse 11. In this episode of The Chosen, the first frame the viewer will see before it's...
I'm sorry, this lady's so good, I went beyond the marker. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's fine. You know, I was kind of torn with that anyway, but
yeah.
I wanted to talk a little bit about what we heard before, other than what you brought up about why they target that particular demographic. Farther back in the when Daryl was talking, she flashed some words up there, and I just want to tell people what she was indicating there. She,
right.
The lady was saying that that episode, that first episode that they watched of The Chosen. It was the film that Dallas talks about that he did with his for his church. It was about Jesus's birth from the shepherd's point of view, a shepherd that witnessed that.
Right.
That's what that episode is based on. And what it said there was Dallas sold the episode to Daryl Eves for an undisclosed amount of money. And then later Daryl took it and sold it to the Chosen LLC corporation. So now that corporation, which is divided among the shares are divided among those five guys, most of whom are Mormon, own that intellectual property.
Yeah, out of the five guys, four are Mormons and one is an apostate. So that makes your team.
Yes.
Right? So, wow. It's amazing.
So I didn't want to forget to mention that.
Right. No, listen, follow the cash. That's all you got to do.
That's right.
Just follow the cash. Think about it. Let's pause here for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, let's say the New York Mets. The New York Mets has an owner.
Yes.
The team has an owner. But notice, the owner became the owner because he asked you for money and you gave him your money. I mean, that's the way the Chosen was set up. Okay, they incorporated the LLC, the Limited Liability Corporation, right?
Right.
This way, if they get sued, well, there's limited liability. You can't sue them personally. You can sue the corporation.
Mm-hmm.
So, if any of these people lead you astray, you can't come after them. You can come after the corporation. And trust me, when you come after the corporation, they would have already liquidated everything because their attorneys would have told them how to liquidate. So you're suing them and you're getting nothing. That's basically the deal. Now, so here they start a corporation, and here you are working paycheck to paycheck. And how do I know that? Because your pastor already got to you. Your pastor already gave your Sunday morning stick up. So whatever you have during mm-hmm. this time of inflation, here you have Dallas Jenkins asking you for money, and they're bragging. Oh, look, we broke records. We broke records sticking people up and asking them. And then you send them the money, but who are the five guys getting the cut? Right.
At least three of them are Mormons.
Right. So, okay.
And let's make sure we know Daryl is the CEO of the Chosen LLC. He's the boss. Because remember, they said partner, but on the paperwork that the young man showed us in the other video, Daryl's the boss.
Right.
And Dallas is like the chief creative director or something,
mm-hmm.
and the shares are divided amongst them, Daryl Dallas, Ricky Ray Butler, and two other guys.
Yeah. Right. The other three put up the money. The fat guy does the YouTube stuff, which he's good at, and Dallas is behind the camera. Dallas is behind the camera. The YouTube guy, he's the one who gets the views. And the three guys mm-hmm. put up the money.
Right.
I mean, the initial, but then everybody else is pouring in the money, and then the money is divided between these five guys after they pay the actors and all that, of course.
And Angel Studios is owned by Mormons as well, the Harmon brothers, he mentioned them.
Right.
And they started Angel Studios specifically to stream The Chosen. And any money that goes to Angel Studios enables them to do other things that they're doing now. So
sure.
That's what we have to understand, that as Christians, when you say, well, I'm just supporting The Chosen because I like that, but I'm not really interested in anything else that they're doing on that platform, well, you provided them the seed money to do all that other stuff, just like with,
correct,
say, T.D. Jakes or Joel Osteen. They say they,
correct,
make their money selling books and stuff, but they're getting their money from church folk. Who do you think's buying the books, you know, and,
right,
giving them the money to do other stuff that they're doing?
Right. It's the church folk providing all the seed.
Mm-hmm.
That's the deal. All right, let's listen to some more. Where do you want to go to from here?
Okay. You can bump it ahead to the 1845 mark, and this will be of a little bit of an interview that Dallas is doing, where Dallas said something I thought was interesting about what he believes God told him concerning The Chosen and its impact, and it's not the fishes and loaves thing this time. It's something else.
Okay.
And then,
all right,
and then
is,
we can go to 28:36.
All right, here it is.
So the show is a bit of a response to that. Briefly, this may be a tangent, but I was in Israel a few years ago when I was doing research for the show. This is before we had even written a script. And I was standing there in that synagogue, and I had what's probably happened to me 3 or 4 times in my life, maybe 5, where I really felt God speaking to me, like laying something very strong on my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And for us old school Baptists, we don't normally hear God's voice. We leave that to the charismatics. So we typically like don't hear from the Lord very explicitly. But this was,
yeah,
one of those moments where I felt really a God laying it on my heart. And I felt that God was laying on my heart that in several years, The Chosen was going to be what people thought of when they pictured the disciples, like when they pictured Jesus's people, the people who were around Jesus. Because up till that point, there's been movies and miniseries about Jesus, but like you don't have anything in your mind specifically about Simon Peter or Mary Magdalene. Like there's,
mm-hmm,
no visual in your mind. And I felt like God was saying, like, this is going to be the definitive portrayal of my people, and this is what people are going to think of around the world when they think of my people, and I'm not going to let you screw it up.
Wait a minute. How do we know Mary Magdalene was raped?
We don't.
Right? I mean, how do we know that she ran off once she supposedly became a disciple of Jesus, and then she ran off, and she was pretty, I mean, she could give Doc Holliday a run for his money when playing poker, from what I saw in The Chosen.
She sure could. And could drink anybody under the table.
That's it. That's it. So, I mean, really? Really? That's what the Lord told you? That's what the Lord told you?
And we don't know that Nathaniel was an architect that had a building crash that he designed and people were killed and all this stuff. We don't know that, or that Simon the Zealot was related to the man at the pool of Bethesda.
Listen, this is authentic garbage. That's what this is. If you want to know what authentic garbage is, that's this. Okay. Now, this young lady that's interviewing him, I've seen her before, and she's kind of she critiques people.
Yeah.
I've never watched any of her videos. I don't know how good she is, but if he's lapping it up with her.
On this one, I did watch this video, And
right.
on this one, she didn't really critique the show very much. It seems like she enjoys it,
right.
thinks it's okay. And then the main thing she pushed back with him a little was the Mormon stuff and what they believe. But as far as the show itself, it wasn't really that much. That it was kind of a softball, and she really allowed
right.
Dallas to dominate the conversation and ramble on a lot too. So,
sure.
you know, I think in that regard, it, the interview could have been a little bit better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. In other words, she destroyed her credibility because anytime you softball somebody, you lost your credibility. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, that's it. Okay.
This is blasphemy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, listening to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Finally, on page 262, Daryl Eaves reveals how he chose a leader to be the face of the chosen. It says, the last element in primal branding is having a leader. Someone needs to be the voice of the community. Brands and channels that perform well have a defined leader. Leaders send a rallying cry, and loyal followers will answer. I finally convinced Dallas to become the leader or the influencer for the Chosen's community, even though he fought me on it for a couple of years. He conceded and went on a live stream, asking our followers to buy merchandise. He sang his little jingle. And wouldn't you know that we had a lot of money come in fast? It was a powerful affirmation to Dallas that he needed to be the leader for our brand.
When you're paying it forward for someone to watch season one or to watch the next episode, you're not only paying it forward for them to watch season one, you're essentially paying it forward to watch season seven because they end up paying it forward. If you're in the app or if you're at thechosen.tv, thechosen.tv/payitforward, thechosen.tv/payitforward. Some I've had to become a bit of an influencer to coin that term. It was not something I set out to do, but my relationship with the audience, their need to, I think, to trust the show. That's why a lot of times you're seeing me out there. I don't know. I don't want to use the word selling the show, but I think communicating directly with the audience, which has been a key part of our success. There's a note that we got recently from someone. When I saw Mary Magdalene, I saw myself. I cried because in the moment where Jesus called Mary by name, it was like he was calling me by my name. You can imagine. Survivor of human trafficking. This painting by an extraordinary artist who I will introduce you to in a moment. This is the moment. I got a chance to see the painting and talk to the artist, and you really need to hear from her. But let's go to that right now. Hi, can I hug you?
Yes, you may.
So nice to finally meet you. Is this the original?
This is the original.
This is the actual original.
So it just seemed to support the whole moment, like,
mm-hmm.
She's here.
Did you name your paintings? Like, does this
no,
have a title?
I'm lousy at naming and framing, so I just turn that over to other people.
Who's behind the artwork that The Chosen is promoting? Liz Lemon Swindle is a well-known Mormon artist recognized for her paintings related to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. You can buy her paintings in the Deseret Bookstore. This is her painting called The Restoration, where Joseph Smith is receiving the Melchizedek priesthood from Peter, James, and John. This painting is Joseph Smith translating the Bible. This painting is Joseph Smith's first vision, and this painting is Joseph Smith in the Liberty Jail.
So an extraordinary painter has captured that moment. Right now, if you want to, you can go to thechosengifts.com, www.thechosengifts.com, and you can see this. There's three different sizes, three different frames you can choose. These are expensive. That we want this to be everywhere. We want this image, this moment changed so many lives.
Acts 17:29 says, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. Exodus 20, verse 4. This is the second commandment in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth.
What about language translation? That costs lots of money. And it's not just subtitles, but dubbing. Dubbing is when new actors record the dialogue in their native tongue. We need money for the foreign languages, we need to be able to do future seasons, and we need our 19,000 investors who finance season one to see a return so they can contribute to future seasons if they want. We want 8 seasons covering Christ's life, and then we may even want to keep going into the book of Acts. But what if we made that easy? VidAngel's team of engineers worked tirelessly to live out one of our theme verses, Isaiah 43:19, which says, "Behold, I am doing a new thing." And they did a new thing. With the flick of a switch, they got our show into every country, and people all over the world can download it free to their phones. We've already translated it into a few languages, but we need to do many more, and we're working on that right now. I want to talk to you about a man that I'm really excited about. His name is Luis Laffey. He's one of the top dubbing actors and directors in the world. He's done some of the biggest films and shows all over, and he's now on our team.
Who's the man in charge of getting The Chosen translated into all these different languages? Luis Laffey is a Mormon.
And he's now on our team, devoted full time to getting our show dubbed into all of these languages. Here's a brief video that he did showing Jesus speaking in multiple languages.
Por isso mesmo que foi punido.
Осуждены. И должны вести себя не так, как другие.
Que आप शिक्षकों का और अपने माता-पिता का सम्मान करें. Alison de Famuhala, mola basa bidali kala mushkila.
Pero niños, y si muchas de las cosas que piensa nuestra gente,
so we're dubbing it right now in multiple languages, with new ones being added constantly, and we don't intend to stop. And that's where you come in. When you take part in our Pay It Forward system, we take that money and pour it right back into spreading the word about the show, subtitling and dubbing it into other languages, and perhaps most importantly, covering the high cost of streaming. Our goal is to reach 1 billion people around the world with the authentic Jesus. And the only way we're going to do that, when so many can't ever afford it, is to make this show free. And the only way to make the show free is for enough people to pay it forward.
With large numbers of evangelical Christians rallying around The Chosen and supporting it financially, with Dallas Jenkins out in front as their evangelical leader, Dallas Jenkins has assured the followers of The Chosen that he is the director and one of the writers, and therefore in control of the creative content. Does Dallas Jenkins ultimately have control of the creative content? According to the SEC documents, the way The Chosen LLC is set up, yes, Dallas Jenkins is an owner, but these 5 owners hire out all the services in what's called a work-for-hire contract. In other words, Dallas Jenkins' services are a 1099 service where he is hired as a writer. In his writer work-for-hire agreement, Dallas Jenkins, under Article 6 or Number 6, signs what's called a grant of rights. I won't read the whole thing to you. It's quite lengthy, but what it basically states is that Dallas Jenkins, yes, he is a writer and a creator of the content. However, he grants all rights to The Chosen LLC. In other words, The Chosen LLC can do whatever they want with it. They can change it, they can add to it, they can take it away. It belongs to The Chosen LLC in perpetuity. So let's say this group of men, minus Dallas, decide that the show needs to take a different direction. They could take all the clips of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount that they've already filmed and superimpose him on another continent, let's say in front of a Native American audience, as the Book of Mormon records. This is absolutely possible. And just as an aside, season 2 of The Chosen was filmed in Goshen, Utah, which is about 30 minutes outside of Provo, Utah. It is a Hollywood-type set. It's 2 football fields long, and it is owned entirely by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So they have recreated all the biblical set, Jerusalem, the temple. It's amazingly accurate. And the Mormons have used this to film their series on Jesus Christ. They did a series on Jesus as well.
What's been so beautiful about seeing the show grow, like...
All right. We stopped it where you wanted me to stop it.
Okay.
Amazing. Amazing reporting.
Yes. Yes. And the part about how the Chosen LLC owns this property, so those guys could easily cut Dallas out if they wanted to. And I wanted to give you some numbers that what the brother showed us in the other video about
right.
how their shares are divided. And it has Dallas owning 44% of the shares. Daryl Eves owns 25%. Ricky Ray Butler owns 19%. And then 12% is split between the other two guys. I don't know the split breakdown. And it appears mm-hmm. that Dallas has the majority shares. But if you add the two Eves and Butler's shares, that's 44% with them. And
right.
then you got the other two guys. So Dallas could easily be pushed out or bullied into doing certain things. Because
right.
all they need is one of the other guys to go along with them, and that's it, right?
That's it.
Based on
that's
the
it.
Numbers,
that's
Dallas
it.
Is not majority owner of this.
Mm-mm. No.
And from what she's saying with the paperwork, he is a salaried employee as well as far as being one of the writers. And he doesn't really control what happens to this intellectual property, I guess you could call it, after
mm-hmm.
it's filmed, after it belongs to the LLC.
Right. Well, it's pretty much like what they do in Hollywood. I mean, they'll hire a director to do a movie, pay him big money, mm-hmm. but the director doesn't get a cut. Here he's getting a cut because he's the face of the, he's the...
When I thought of this, it's like, when they're having a sale or they're doing some special event at a store or something, and they got these little tube-looking things that you blow
right.
air up in them and they
right.
flap around in the wind. That's
yes.
what Dallas is. He's like
yeah.
that thing in front of the store.
Right. See, where I come from in the projects, again, I had a wonderful life, a wonderful childhood
mm-hmm.
because I spent time on the farm and I spent time in the hood. And both the farm and the hood were schools. Now,
mm-hmm.
Dallas is what we call in the projects, and saints, don't be offended by this, but he's what they call the hoe. That's what he is. Now, you see, you never saw the pimp. The John never saw the pimp unless the John wasn't paying. Then the John saw the pimp because the John was
right.
the pimp was there to beat up the John. But what you saw was the hoe. The hoe was out in the street in hot pants and high heels selling her wares. You never
I
saw
thought
the,
of that
you never
analogy
saw the,
too.
Right, you never saw the pimp. You never saw the pimp.
No, you didn't.
Right? You just saw the girl walking down. That's it. That's what he is. That's what he is. And he's
You're
selling
right.
Jesus out. He's selling Jesus out. Think about
and
think
himself.
About, I mean, well, I mean, he's a son of perdition. He's a Judas.
Right. Because, I mean, there's Mormons all in this thing based on what this video pointed out. From the people doing the paintings to the overdubbing for the different languages and just
right.
on and on. Dallas is not just partnered with them. He is in bed deep under the covers.
Right. He, like I said, the Mormon church is the pimp. He's the hoe. That's all it is. And the evangelicals are the Johns.
Are the Johns, yep.
They're the ones coughing up the money. That's what this is. I'm so glad I spent time in the hood because it gives me discernment. See?
Yeah.
And every time we pass those, now my grandmother would say, we need to pray for these young ladies. And then she would look at me and say, and never go to one of them because they have diseases. Do you understand that, Michael? And I said, yes, Grandma, I understand what you're saying. We're going to pray for them. We're going to pray for them that they have a Jesus moment, that they come to the Lord. But, you know, when you get older, don't go to one of these because they give diseases. And when you go to Dallas, you come out with a disease. That's it. That's, you know, it's plain and simple. In this case, yes. You know, it's the Apostle Paul telling us, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. But
right.
Don't join
Christ with a harlot.
Correct. Absolutely. And that's what Dallas is doing. That's what he's doing. And, you know, 44% plus, look, it's the same thing as they do in the church. It's the same thing. The pastor comes out and he's pimping everybody. He's bringing the money. You know, he'll get up and read Malachi 3:6, you know, you're cursed with a curse unless you, and the people run up and they give the money. And then, you know, the pastor's paying himself.
Yep.
And he pays himself. He's got 44% of, you know, what's coming in. Right? I mean, and, you know, when Joel Osteen says, you know, I don't get a salary. Listen, dude, you are shaking people's hands. And they're giving you a Pentecostal handshake. A Pentecostal handshake is a handshake with money. That's what it is. Can you imagine the kind of money that Joel Osteen gets? Can you imagine the kind of killing he makes on his birthday? Can you imagine?
Oh, man.
Can you imagine the how he makes out on Father's Day? It's incredible. They had in the wall of Joel Osteen's church, they had $600,000, right, stashed in the wall.
Yeah, I heard about that.
They don't even know what to do with the money. They got so much money. They don't even know what to do. Please. All right. You want to still play this?
No, that's it.
Okay.
We're going to go back to the audio number one, the first video.
Okay.
I just wanted to use this to expound on some things that he touched on in this first one. And and I'll let you know where to start it at once you get it ready.
Okay. We're ready to go.
Can you move it ahead to the 1 hour? 8 minute 41 second mark, somewhere around there. And
1 hour.
Or as close as you can get it to 8 minute 41.
Okay. All right. It's set up.
All right. So we're going to continue with this first video we started, and this part, he's going to be showing Dallas just with some of his old church buddies from Harvest Bible Chapel. They've split off from that now that James McDonald is gone and all that stuff. But these are some guys where he's talking about unity and all this kind of thing. And you have to be careful when you hear these guys talking about unity, because it's not unity in Christ. And then from there, he's going to go into some stuff about Jonathan Rumi and his beliefs and association. And that's the guy that plays Jenkins Jesus.
Right.
So okay. And feel free to stop at any time you want to make a comment or something.
Okay, here it is.
It's not a coincidence that this show has unified a lot of fans from different faith traditions who are really being drawn to the authentic Jesus. And as an evangelical, I'm like, yeah, that's a nice opportunity to be a little bit. It's almost like a secret agent. I'm infiltrating some of these other communities in a way that that hasn't been done before.
Wow. That's Jude 4. Where they
yes,
crept
it
in
is,
unawares.
And it, mm-hmm. And he's
right?
basically confessing to what he is. He's a Trojan horse.
That's it. That's it. Look at, I mean, those are choice words he just used.
Right.
Sometimes
they mess up and tell you what they're really about.
Exactly. Exactly. They don't even have to wear the sheep's clothing anymore. They're just out there in the full wolf regalia.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. Wow.
And he's saying the authentic Jesus again,
yeah.
But it's not authentic. It's a Jesus that can't save anybody.
Right. It's a Jesus who doesn't know the Sermon on the Mount.
Right.
How could that be the authentic
Matthew
Jesus?
To help him.
Right.
He had to get Matthew to help him organize it.
Sure, sure.
These are some articles from a Mormon news organization.
Now, after you get that connection, and after you feel more connected to Christ, and after you feel like instead of treating him like a person or a figure on a throne that you have to be granted access to, and you have to speak of him in these awestruck words, and you have to, you know, everything feels more formal.
Every day, at least 50 people call me a heretic or a blasphemer from somewhere. I mean, heck, even just doing interviews in LDS circles
mm-hmm.
is going to get criticism in the evangelical world.
Great, but I love the idea that you're acknowledging the fact that, you know, the Middle is an interfaith show. I don't care what your religious affiliation is, even if you're not a Christian, Jews, Muslims, there's something that you can just appreciate in watching the life of Jesus play out and the way you've depicted it on the film. So the invitation is for all.
Well, sure, yeah. I mean, I've watched plenty of shows and movies
yes.
that I didn't believe the...
Right,
the
premise
of... I watch Harry Potter going, I believe that there's actually this group of wizards and stuff, but you still enjoy the show
right.
As it is. And so I...
Right.
Sometimes when people say on social media about the show, like, oh, these are all just fairy tales, I'm like, well, then watch it like you did Lord of the Rings.
Right,
like,
yeah, you're totally into Harry Potter and Lord
yeah,
of the
yeah,
Rings.
Just enjoy it, you know.
Star Wars, right? We don't
yeah.
even want to go there,
right?
You're fine with Yoda, but not Jesus,
right.
Okay.
Right, so exactly. So say, guys, let's never lose sight of this, the unity that we have.
Wow. They want you to accept Jesus like you accepted Yoda. Wow.
Right. Right. It's ecumenical. This is what Dallas is promoting through this show.
Right.
And where all is invited, all are welcome, all are accepted, and it's not really about doctrine and differences we have, but what do you have in common? We kind of heard Daryl Eve say that a little bit earlier when they were getting together to finance the show and set everything up. He said the same type of thing. It's about
mm-hmm.
ecumenism.
Right. Yeah, they're just interested in reaching 1 billion people. They don't care.
Right.
They're not looking to service the remnant.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking to service the rebels. That's it.
Right. They're feeding the goats and not the sheep.
That's it. That's it. That's what they're interested in feeding.
Mm-hmm.
Art, you know, we're doing it for the the project. You know, we're not doing it for the audience, even though we want the audience to love it, of course. But when we're in this moment, when we're doing a scene, we're doing it because we want it to be a great scene. And we all have different motivations. I mean, my motivation ultimately is to bring the authentic Jesus to the world. That's not necessarily all of their motivations.
Told me that some people or many people have said that it's almost like a reintroduction to Jesus.
I have read or heard some form of, I feel like I'm getting to know Jesus for the first time or all over again or in a new way, tens of thousands of times. And it's no doubt more than that. I just haven't read. I believe if you can see Jesus through the eyes of those who actually met him, you can be changed and impacted in the same way they were.
We see this idea that Dallas Jenkins proposes time and time again, that if you were to see Jesus through the eyes of those that met him, you can have the same kind of relationship with him that they did. Now, I've often thought about this and thought there's just something wrong with this. If we were to take this explanation and put it into the framework of a married couple, the entire explanation that Dallas Jenkins gives falls apart. For example, if you have a husband and a wife, and I were to say, if somebody from outside that marriage can see the husband through the eyes of the wife, they could have the same encounters and the same relationship that that wife has with her husband. And that's totally false. That wife had to come into relationship with her husband on her own. She had to build a relationship with her husband through experiences. And the same thing really applies to anybody that puts their faith in Jesus Christ. We can't actually live off somebody else's relationship with God. We have to come into relationship with Jesus Christ based on a personal choice, and then our relationship begins to build and to grow. It doesn't come through watching a TV show about disciples. It doesn't come through even reading books by great Christian authors. It really comes by the Holy Spirit of God through a choice that we make to surrender and let Jesus Christ be the Lord of our lives.
And I come to believe that I have many brothers and sisters in the LDS faith. I love my LDS brothers and sisters.
In this next portion, we're going to look at Jonathan Rumi and his connection with Russell Brand, the New Age activist and promoter of Christ consciousness, transcendental meditation, a lot of different things that are totally not of God. On Jonathan Rumi's Instagram, he shared that he went to a transcendental meditation seminar done by David Lynch, who's a big-time Hollywood guy that promotes transcendental meditation, and also Russell Brand and another gentleman. And he went there, and, you know, he's promoting it openly on his Instagram.
I get caught up in desire, lust, greed, self-centeredness, all these kind of defects of character. I need to transcend it. It's consciousness itself, in my case, that needs to grow to liberate me from it. And I suppose this is where, as you were saying to me earlier today, Bob, service becomes necessary. It's not enough to, oh, look, I sit on my own and I meditate and now I'm loving. I have to find ways of being useful, being loving, love as an act, love as an action.
David, do you have a comment on that?
I love what Russell said. I love what Russell said.
Now, this is really disturbing. On his Instagram, Jonathan Rumi says, "Fantastic night of do-gooding, meditative appreciation, and transcendental inebriation." And so he's glorifying and praising David Lynch and Russell Brand, and they're promoting transcendental meditation, which is a totally New Age, anti-Christian belief and practice. This is the David Lynch Foundation, full of different things that promote meditation and meditative practices. These are some photos from the event. We see that Jonathan Rumi and Russell Brand have a close connection. You don't put your head to another person's head without being in agreement with them about a lot of things. As we examine the posts of Jonathan Rumi, it becomes clear that there's something really off And I'm going to just read this to you. It says, we are all God's children. We are all one human family. We are all divinely interconnected. Melanin ratio, a footnote in the earthly margins of our celestial essence as a result of the miracle of our design diversity. Well, that's not biblical truth. So the issue is the guy playing Jesus is promoting ideas and philosophies that are not biblical, that are not true. Here we see Jonathan Rumi promoting a video that Russell Brand did on prayer. Now, I'm going to show you some of the video, and you're going to see just how off-base and crazy Russell Brand's statements are. But Jonathan Rumi says, I love how eloquently and magically my brother Russell Brand addressed the global Googling of prayer today. Check out his thoughts on the matter on his page. Now, what you're about to see is filled with blasphemy and statements that are totally counter to what the Bible says about God and the nature of God. Then we're going to look at who Russell Brand is and see why it's a problem that he and Jonathan Rumi are buddy-buddy.
We are looking for a sacred experience. What do you mean sacred, Russell? In the dictionary, it tells you that sacred means holy, divine, the presence of God. What I think that means is the presence of the limitless that is always, by its nature, present in the limited bandwidth of our physical sense-based experience here on Earth, which on some level we know is not enough, and now we've been blessed to me that we need to find a way to pray together. Now, you might not want to pray because, excuse me, mate, you've had a difficult experience of religion, or you say, hey man, I don't like religion, it's trying to tell me how to think, or ink-a-dink. It ain't trying to tell you how to think. You have to think. You think rationalism, materialism aren't telling you how to think. You think you're not trapped in some sort of cyber pinball, neurological machine, information synaptically rattling around just to keep you trapped within the sounds of commercials bombarding your ears for years and years continually. Well, let me tell you, if you think that you're free, the only way that you're free is your freedom to see that there's something that be beyond what you can normally see. And the only way we can access this
is through prayer.
So, within you, within the timeless within you, beyond the box of space and time. I've been on my own a long time now. All my relationships are starting to go very strange, including this one. God! Is there a God? Where are you, God? I believe in God. I believe God to be the limitless consciousness of which my own tiny little consciousness is but a part. But David Lynch, God love him, said that the Sanskrit form is one line and the characters come from the one line. This is the, what does he call it? The unified field, and all forms come from the unified field. Everything coming from oneness. I believe that as they go deeper into the microscopic world, they will discover, hold on a minute, everything is one. It's all interconnected. It's all just one thing, vibrating at different speeds, or some sort of weird holographic revelation that we are bursting through a membrane into this frequency. In the book of Job, when the higher self, the Yahweh, challenges the lower self, Job, the higher self, Yahweh, the God self, tests the flesh self to see if it can connect with some deeper principles. I got this tattoo done recently of Jesus Christ, the symbol of the resurrection, the possibility for divine God consciousness to be expressed through mankind. Whether or not you identify as a Christian, meaning you believe that Christ is the Son of God and that the Christian or one particular branch of the Christian theology is the answer to the problem of being alive and dying and that Christ rose again, you know, for me, that's not where I go with religion, because you'll notice just on this arm is Ganesh from the Vedic philosophy, and over here there's a Sikh symbol, and just over here, that's West Ham United. So, yes, I love Jesus Christ. Yes, I love Ganesh and Krishna and all of the prophets, because for me, it seems that the prophets all convey one message. We are here. We are going to die. Love is the most important thing. Separateness is an illusion. We are all one. Plus my own personal experience with psychedelics and my own personal experience with transcendental meditation, and the conclusion drawn from them that there is no point in anything except kindness and service. If religion
is something believed in to the exclusion of other religions or in opposition to other religions, that's something that's not for me. My approach to them is that they are all true.
I mean, look at how this is total New Age, total rejection of the truth of the gospel, total rejection of the Bible. In fact, what Russell Brand does is he tries to implement it and take it in and use it to create his own understanding and his own religion. Total self-idolatry at the end of the day. A very important question to ask is, what is the role that Russell Brand's theology and spiritual understanding has had on Jonathan Rumi's understanding and spirituality and theology? Well, if that wasn't concerning enough, now we're going to look at Jonathan Rumi's connection with James Martin, a Jesuit priest who's promoting LGBT all throughout the Catholic Church here in America. In fact, later on I'm going to show you Jonathan Rumi's Amazon book page where people can show their favorite books. And the top two books that he recommends and that are his favorites are actually by James Martin, this LGBT-promoting Jesuit priest.
Hi, I'm Father Jim Martin. I'm a Jesuit priest, editor-at-large at America Media, and author of Building a Bridge. I'm not challenging church teaching on same-sex marriage, same-sex relations, or anything else for that matter. And if I've said, done, or written anything that seemed to imply otherwise, that wasn't my intent.
Big green eye! What a monster!
Seth is the author of a wildly controversial book. It focuses on uniting the LGBT Catholic community and the church. It's called Building a Bridge. Please welcome Father James Martin.
Hi, Father.
Has the new pope changed sort of the direction or outlook at the LGBT community and everybody, really?
Yeah, a ton. His five most famous words are, "Who am I to judge?" And he was referring to first gay priests and then gay people, he said, in general. And that really has helped LGBT people, you know, who are already part of the church, feel more comfortable in the church.
Wait, it's taken so long. The church for so long has not been open to this. Why has it taken so long?
Well, I mean, look at our society. I mean, even American society has taken a long time to kind of understand LGBT people in the church. You know, I mean, the church, as they say, thinks in centuries, not minutes. And so it takes a while for them to come around. But I really think Pope Francis, who has, you know, said, "Who am I to judge?" He's used the word gay. He has gay friends. Really has set the tone. And guess what? LGBT issues are life issues, right? They're life issues that should matter to the church, because the church is pro-life.
Well, it's that whore in Babylon. I mean, they got everything. I mean, you know. They're talking about Harry Potter, and they're talking about transcendental meditation, gays. Boy.
Right.
What a cesspool.
Right, and I wanted to ask you, because it looks like Jonathan Rumi was pretty tight with that first guy, and and I even noticed looking at some of Jonathan's videos that he does on social media, which he's going to show some of that, where he kind of acts like that guy sometimes. Jonathan is kind of weird in, if you know, when he's doing some of these videos, and I guess you are like your friends, your close friends, but I wanted to ask you, do you think, because this young man is concerned about Jonathan, actor Jonathan Rumi, and what he believes and who he associates with offset. And I wanted to ask you, do you think that should matter? Because, you know, he's an actor, he has his personal life, and does it, you know, what's the big deal if he's not a born-again Christian?
Right. Well, I don't know. I don't know what Jeffrey Hunter's faith was, the guy who did Jesus and King of Kings. I don't know. I don't know what the sexual preference of the guy who did Jesus in The Greatest Story Ever Told. I don't know these people's background. I don't know what they
or what,
but
James
Clavizel's
background from The Passion.
Right. So I don't know. You know, I don't know what Charlton Heston's sexual preferences was the guy who did Moses. I don't know. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite movies of all time was Samson and Delilah with Victor Mature. I think Victor Mature played an awesome Samson. I don't know if he was gay. I don't know. But I can tell you one thing. They kept to the biblical script.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's – when you look at a movie – It's just like a pastor. It's just like a pastor. A pastor is a sinner. Everybody knows that guy standing up there is a sinner, a redeemed sinner.
Mm-hmm.
What you're asking the pastor to do is to remain faithful to the Bible.
That's right.
What you're asking. So, again, we're all sinners. Now, of course, there are requirements for a pastor. The Bible lays them out. The Bible doesn't give you requirements for an actor. They don't give you any. So what we want is for the picture to be faithful to Scripture.
Mm-hmm. And
I think that's one thing
that this young man, and we'll look more, we'll look further into this as we go along, but this one thing he's trying to say here is that he's into, and I'm gathering this too from having watched this, is that Jonathan is seemed to be into a lot of mysticism. He enjoys the mystical side of Catholicism, it appears, and then this other transcendental stuff with Russell Brand. And so how does those beliefs and practices bleed into how he portrays Jesus? That's the first and biggest thing. And then the second thing for me is, you know, that by him being the lead actor on The Chosen, and he's very popular. He travels around to promote the show in especially a lot of Catholic areas. So he's big for the Chosen. But, you know, a lot of times the lead actor does have a lot of sway in how certain scenes might be shot in the movie.
Sure.
How does he want to portray this, or how does he want to do this? Maybe even some changes to the script. And we hear stories about some of these actors behind the scenes that they do have a lot of influence and input in how the final product comes out. So that's something to keep in mind as well.
Sure. I don't know what Mary Magdalene's sexuality is. I don't know what Peter's sexuality is. You're just hoping and praying that whenever you watch a movie that on the life of Christ, that they are faithful to the Bible. I don't know of any other movie that I've watched on the Bible where the director departed from the script. And none of those directors, I mean, Cecil B. DeMille didn't claim to be an evangelical. He didn't say, he wasn't beating his chest, I'm an evangelical, I'm going to stick to the Bible. No. But the Ten Commandments is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He didn't have the first plague as the tenth plague and the tenth plague as the first plague.
Right.
He kept the order.
Right.
Right? So, that's what you pray. You pray that these people would keep to the script. They would follow the scriptures. And evidently, Dallas, who wants to present the authentic Jesus, has presented a jackass, because that's not the Jesus. Now, hearing about this this New Age connection, right? The guy here, this Russell Brand, I'm connected. I'm just a small consciousness and a bigger consciousness, and now I can maybe that has caused Rumi to say, hey, Let Matthew be seen helping me, because I'm one consciousness and he's another. and maybe we can put the Sermon on the Mount together. I don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe that's how they put that. Yeah. But again, I can tell you it doesn't follow the Bible. See, and here's the other thing. If you know, John Wayne did a movie on the Alamo, right? He did a movie on the Alamo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And who knows if the, you know, if the movie was accurate or not. You know, it's debatable, okay? All right. So, but you see, the Alamo is not the story of the life of Christ. The Alamo is secular history. The life of Jesus is sacred history. You don't tamper with sacred history. If the Bible says Jesus rose on the third day, you don't make him rise on the eighth day. You stick
to the
scripture, right? I mean, so again, Dallas has just made a mess. And he thinks that the life of Christ is his personal sandbox, that he could just do as he wants to. And he's going to have to pay a big price for his 44% of the shares.
Yes, he will.
A
price he can't pay.
Correct. So, look, we would have to say that this is one of Satan's end time vehicles to once again leaven and dirty up and stain Jesus.
Right, and also to keep people from ever really knowing Jesus in the way that he's shown in the Gospels, in the Bible. Some people will never know him, and maybe the people who do, they could be tainted or leavened because they've embraced these characters, because Dallas wants us to picture these characters when we read the scriptures. That we heard him say that's what he thinks God told them was going to happen.
Right. You know, for Dallas to have Jesus telling one of his disciples, hey, man, maybe somebody will come down the road and explain it to us all.
Right.
What?
He's supposed to be God. He knows what's the deal. So why can't he explain it? That's why you're here.
Exactly. That's why you are the desire of the nations. The nations have been waiting for you for centuries. And now that you're here, mm-hmm. you're a Charlie Brown? What? No, this is bizarre. This is just plain old weird. All right.
Yes.
Here's more.
In terms of reading things in context, I like to read this at talks. Dear Dr. Laura, thank you so much for doing so much for educating people regarding God's law. I've learned a great deal from your show, and I try to share that knowledge with as many people as I can. When someone tries to defend the homosexual lifestyle, for example, I simply remind them that Leviticus 18:22 clearly states it to be an abomination. End of debate. I do need some advice from you, however, regarding some other elements of God's law and how to follow them. When I burn a bull on the altar of sacrifice, it now creates a pleasing odor for the Lord, Leviticus 1:9. The problem is my neighbors. They claim the odor is not pleasing to them. Should I smite them? I have a neighbor who insists on working on the Sabbath. Exodus 35:2 clearly states he must be put to death. Am I morally obligated to kill him myself? Or should I ask the police to do it? Most of my male friends get their hairs trimmed, including the hair around their temples, even though this is expressly forbidden by Leviticus 19:27. How should they die? And this is my favorite. Now, you know, we're laughing. It's good to laugh because people use the homosexuality text in that way without any historical context. My uncle has a farm. He violates Leviticus 19:19 by planting two different crops in the same field. As does his, you know, with the homosexuality things, they come from Leviticus. As does his wife, by wearing garments made of two different kinds of thread, cotton and polyester. He also curses and blasphemes. Is it really necessary that, as Leviticus 24:10-16 says, we have to go to the trouble of getting the whole town together to stone them? Couldn't we just, as Leviticus 20:14 says, burn them to death at a private family affair, like we do with people who sleep with their in-laws? I know that you have studied these things extensively and thus enjoy considerable expertise, so I am confident you can help. Thank you again for reminding us that God's word is eternal and unchanging. So that's context. I think we need context. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
No. I'm not challenging church teaching on same-sex marriage, same-sex relations, or anything else for that matter. And if I've said, done, or written anything that seemed to imply otherwise, that wasn't my intent.
You don't say. No.
Yes.
You know, but by the same token, when he was asked a couple years ago, you know, about gay priests, he said, who am I to judge? That original line was actually about gay priests. So recently I had 30 minutes with Pope Francis.
And he used all 30 of those to advocate for LGBT.
In the Apostolic Palace in the library is where he meets diplomats and heads of state. And this is the public way that the Vatican has of sending a signal of support for you. And then I can say that meeting him was really a highlight of my life. Let's just say, I can't share too many of the details, very encouraging. And I left walking on air. I was also happy for the LGBT community. I was just bringing the voices of LGBT people into that room with me, and that's what I felt like my mission was.
Pope Francis is speaking out again in support of gay people.
Reaching out to gay Catholics in a way no pope has ever done before.
The pope saying, quote, if someone is gay and he searches for the Lord and has goodwill, who am I to judge?
It is changing things. I'm not challenging church teaching on same-sex marriage, same-sex relations, or anything else for that matter. And if I've said, done, or written anything that seemed to imply otherwise, that wasn't my intent.
And right here we have James Martin defending Pete Buttigieg, who was the guy that was running for president. He says that gay is the way that God made some people. He goes on to say that certain things in the Bible shouldn't be taken literally, and he makes a case why gay marriage is okay.
Respect also means acknowledging that LGBT Catholics bring unique gifts to the church, both as individuals and as communities. These gifts build up the church in special ways, as St. Paul wrote when he compared the people of God to a human body, right? We need the eye, the foot, the hand. By the way, that's from a group called Ignatian Q.
So notice that Jonathan Rumi says in this post, pretty awesome mention by a fantastic author whose book I use as a resource when playing Jesus. Think of that. Jonathan Rumi is looking to this priest as a resource for demonstrating and portraying Jesus on The Chosen. And that should be something that everyone that watches The Chosen or that's a fan of The Chosen should be very, very concerned about.
Ooh. That goes out to all the ladies who unfollowed me last night as a result of my post from yesterday. I say thank you for everyone that commented, especially the people that decided to unfollow me as a response to my participation in a conversation that has not taken place yet with Father Jim Martin that I am so looking forward to. JesuitRetreat.org as Father Martin and I talk about Jesus. Father Jim is a controversial figure, but he's somebody that his work has influenced my work. And so when I was asked to sit down to talk about the work, I jumped at the chance. Party's over, guys. True colors. Now you'll see the real me. Ah. Oh, apparently I'm falling into this lure of the devil. Lure of the devil got me. Guilty as charged. So, yeah. What else?
This is a post that Jonathan Rumi posted with James Martin. He says, when one of your favorite authors on one of your favorite subjects wants a photo of you, quote-unquote, Jesus, with his book, and the talk was on building a bridge with the LGBT community. So what's happening here is Jonathan Rumi is actually being used to pull people into Catholicism. The guy playing Jesus in The Chosen doesn't believe what the Bible says about LGBT issues. He doesn't believe that homosexuality is a sin and that people need to repent of it or be freed from it. So this is very dangerous, what's happening behind the scenes in The Chosen.
All right, let's stop it there because we're running out of time. This is very good. We stopped it at the 1 hour, 32-minute mark. 1 hour, 32-minute.
Okay.
Very fascinating video. And, of course, look, like I said, I don't know what Jeffrey Fisher's sexual orientation was. I don't know what Charleston Heston's was. I don't know what Victor Mature's was. George C. Scott played Abraham. I don't know what his sexual orientation was. What's his name? I can't remember. He played Noah. I don't know what his sexual...
Oh, John Houston.
John Houston, right, who has a bunch of nutty kids, right? I don't know,
yeah.
You know, I don't know, but I can tell you he played an awesome Noah,
yeah.
Right? Awesome, in that movie called The Bible, which was a long movie,
Yeah, it was.
So, but it was spot on in so many areas. That whole scene on Sodom and Gomorrah, boy, that Sodom scene in that section of the movie called The Bible, that was spot on.
Mm-hmm.
That was some. I saw that when I was young, and I was saying, boy, I ain't going down to the village. You won't catch me down the village after seeing, because my relatives told me.
Greenwich Village, that's, you mean?
Yeah, Greenwich Village, yeah, because we lived in Brooklyn,
okay.
And we always heard about, you know, don't go down to Greenwich Village. Don't go down there. And after I saw the movie The Bible, I said, you won't see me down there. If that's what they look like, I won't be down there. So, we don't know what their, what their relationship was to Christ. We don't know if they were saved. I doubt it. But they stuck to the Bible. These people claim to be right up there with Jesus, followers of Jesus, and look how bad they're distorting the Lord. Go figure.
That's right.
So, and the other thing is that none of those actors went on a world tour promoting themselves or, promoting their religion or their faith.
Right, exactly.
They just did the movie, they got their paycheck, and they went to go do what they were doing before that.
Right.
That's it. This is a movement. This is a soul ensnaring movement. This is.
It is. That's exactly right.
Yeah. And like you said, listen, that Mary Magdalene, they have her showing up at a lot of these events.
They do.
The Jesus, they have him at a lot of events. They built their series on these people. That's what they've done.
And Dallas wants you to think of them when you read the scriptures.
Right, right. All right, my sister, you have the last word. Great show as always.
All right. Well, yes, as always, thank you for listening. Know that we love you, and most importantly, the Lord Jesus loves you, and we'll see you next time. Have a great rest of your day and week. Bye-bye.